Welcome to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Mellinger. On this show, we explore the possibilities embryo adoption offers to families often struggling with infertility, though not always. Through insightful interviews and moving stories, we uncover the blessings of this unique path to parenthood. This podcast is brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center, giving hope to those longing to grow their families. Now, let's get started. Excited today, we have an expecting NEDC couple with us, John and Brittany Smoot. Brittany, 36 weeks pregnant as we do this interview, so the big day is coming in just a few weeks, or as you well know, it could be any time. So this is really, really exciting. Congratulations, you two, and thank you for joining us here on the Embryo Adoption Podcast. So let's start with your journey a while back. Did you expect infertility when you went into marriage, or was it a surprise?
We had like a 50-50 shot, really. So I have a syndrome called Klinefelter's, which we did know about in advance. And I had always been told, hey, this may or may not affect fertility down the road. And unfortunately for us, it did, which was kind of a, I guess, a happy little accident in the end, because it led us to NEDC, which has been phenomenal.
And yeah, and we've loved having you guys with us. And by the way, it's a good point to camp out on for just a second, because that's not uncommon. I mean, you know, Klinefelter syndrome, not really as uncommon as you might think. And we've had a lot of NEDC dads who have been in that situation. So I think it's a good time to ask both of you, and John, I'll start with you, but any advice on how other men can face this disorder successfully, as I know you have?
I'm fortunate. I was fortunate in that I was diagnosed fairly early on, so I've had time to wrap my head around it. I was diagnosed when I was 13. And I don't think it ever became tough mentally until we were trying to have children, because you know, when you're 13, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to get testosterone injections and it's not a big deal. And then you end up getting married, you fall in love. Well, you fall in love first, then you get married.
You hope so. Usually that's how it goes.
And then you want to have kids. And that's really where that was striking and tough. But, you know, we were Christians, and that's where the power of prayer and faith comes into play. And that was very helpful in getting around the toughness of not being able to have biological children.
Brittany, what would you add to that?
I think it's really important for any spouse that is with a person that has that syndrome to understand their highs and lows, and just how important it is that they actually are experiencing different emotional ups and downs, and that it is
testosterone injections, there's peaks and valleys.
I guess I am blessed that having known about the syndrome before we got married, so it wasn't a shock. So I would just say to anybody that has this to be completely open and honest with a future partner or partner they have in the moment about that, just so that it's an open conversation. For us, I mean, it just really came down to trusting in God and what he had for us. And we knew before we even got married, we said that if it was, you know, not going to happen biologically, that we were completely and happy, open to adoption, however that looked. At the time, we did not know about infant embryo adoption, but for us, it looked like domestic infant adoption. But, you know, we were just open to that right from the start. So, that's kind of a quick take on it.
So describe your pursuit of parenthood then, once you realized that you weren't going to be able to have kids on your own. What did that road look like?
Well, we, so yeah, we started with IVF and went through surgeries for the syndrome and found out it was not going to work. And then, yeah, we started to look into domestic infant adoption. We met with other couples that had also gone through the same thing. And it was very looming and terrifying, to be honest, just the amount of paperwork and money that it was going to cost. But it was still, we wanted to have a family. So we also then looked into fostering to adopt. And then through all of that journey, actually John's sister had just mentioned to us, you know, have you ever heard of something called embryo adoption? To which we hadn't, which was kind of interesting for us because we went through IVF and we signed all this paperwork that talked about frozen embryos and how many do you want to create and where do you want to put them if you don't use them. And going through that, we knew we did not want to have any extra embryos. So anybody that, any embryo that was created, we were going to use. So we were very careful with how many we selected, but we did not think through the end of it, yeah, where it's like they might discard them or save them. None of that was really put forward to us. So when we heard about embryo adoption, it was just kind of new. We had no idea what to think. So then he looked into it.
Yeah, it was kind of dumbfounding. It was like, this makes complete and total sense. And
yeah,
why didn't we think of this? And just ethically, you know, we had decided for ourselves that we weren't going to pursue sperm donation. And this just made complete sense. And it was somewhat in that same vein where it's like, hey, you have an embryo that has already been created, that is life, that deserves to be born. Mm-hmm. And this is another way to adopt, is really how we viewed it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can adopt and carry your adopted child.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The science is, if we go down that rabbit hole in itself, like, you know, okay, hey, the embryo for some cases has been frozen for 25 years and then it's born.
How does it make sense?
Are you 26 now? Are you one? No, it's a miraculous science. It's really, really amazing.
Do you know how long your baby was frozen for? That, and that sounds like such a weird question to ask, but here we are.
Not really.
I have to look.
And yeah, because we, at this time, we do not know from which donor, because we had two separate donors transferred and only one survived. So we don't know right now. But either way, I think within both of the donors, it was no more than like 5 or 8 years.
Okay.
I think it was pretty recent.
Just still a long time, but you're right. When we've had embryos that were frozen 30 years and became babies, right, it's all relative, right? And by the way, yeah, a good point to make that your baby will have to have a cheek swab then when we do mixed transfers. Our medical affiliate does mixed transfers. That means they put in two embryos, each one is from a different set, right? You just, a simple cheek swab, they send it to a lab, and then you find out from which set the embryo came. That happens if you do go through the embryo adoption process and they ask whether you're okay with embryo mixing. That's what they're asking: are you okay with taking two embryos in the same transfer from two sets? And so yeah, that's what John and Brittany are going to be finding out, which set their baby was from. By the way, if this podcast is helpful to you, do us a favor, help spread the word, share it, give us a 5-star rating if we're that good, you know, subscribe on whatever platform you listen to podcasts. The Embryo Adoption Podcast, we appreciate it, and we know it's been helpful to a lot of people. So keep spreading the word, and we will trust God with the results for that. So take me through your journey then with the NEDC. I mean, obviously, I've met with you guys in person a couple of times. I can't remember exactly how you found us, but take me through that and what your journey was like with us.
Yeah. So I mean, we like Brittany said, my sister had mentioned embryo adoption somewhat offhand, and we had never heard of it. We were kind of shocked by it. Started to do some research, which for us, Google.com, type in embryo adoption, see what pops up. And I think what really struck me about NEDC's organization, period, was good, bad, or indifferent, the transparency of media coverage being linked to the site. So I think we really came across a couple of news stories initially in which depending on the outlet, it was somewhat double-edged in that it was like, this science is miraculous and amazing, but also it's a Christian organization,
Yes, we get that a lot, right?
which was kind of, it is what it is, but New York Times in particular had done a story, and for me that was really, I think that was kind of the nail in the coffin of like, all right, we're gonna go check out this organization, because the science is undeniable, and I think if New York Times is saying one thing about you on the basis of ideology alone, that might be a badge of honor that we would want to look into.
Yeah.
So yeah, we really. That I mean, and let me just preface this by saying, if you have a different ideology, that's fine, right?
Sure.
But I think what I was saying more so was NEDC's integrity and transparency of, hey, this is the media coverage.
Take it,
Negative,
take it as you will.
indifferent, or positive, like
Yeah.
this is, we're 100% transparent on every media link. It's all to our website. This is what people say about us, and that was really, I think, striking and different from what we saw elsewhere, where it was a little bit
Yeah.
more cultivated and secretive,
Yeah.
versus just like, this is us,
Yeah.
take it early. So that was
And for
really
us,
great.
I think we really felt there was some kind of simple peace that just came from just looking at the website. That
Yeah.
might sound a little crazy, but we had looked at many different websites and, we wanted to make sure that the agency we were going with was going to be under the umbrella of God first. And so there was just some kind of odd peace that came over us just simply looking at the website and all of that research that John just talked about.
Yeah.
And we just were, we prayed about it for a couple of days. We're like, which one? But we just kept coming back to NEDC. And we're like, we just feel so comfortable with this place, so we're just going to reach out to them. And then it just kind of all took off from there because the moment we reached out to NEDC, we immediately just felt like the love, the comfort, and we just felt like everyone that we talked to really cared about the embryos and they cared about where those
Yeah.
embryos are going and to make sure that they're going to a family that's going to love them wholeheartedly. And that's exactly what we were looking for. So we just never had a single question
Yeah.
after really seeing the website. It was just I mean we truly believe that it was God that placed us in that spot and that just gave us such a peace about coming to NEDC. So that's really the beginning. I also could get teary-eyed because I'm pregnant.
Well, okay, then let's go there. I mean, how does it feel to finally be expecting? Like, take me to the moment when you found out, hey, it worked. I'm pregnant.
Let's see. Tears, lots of tears. joy, and honestly, just it's I think even over the last 9 months of being pregnant, it's been very surreal. Only because we've been married for 6 years now. We started trying for children the moment that we got married, knowing what we knew.
Sure.
And so it's just been a long journey. And so we've always talked about having a family and what it's going to be like to have children. And it's always talk, talk, talk. And now it's, actually happening. So it still feels very surreal that in 4 weeks or whenever God decides that he's going to, baby boy is going to come join us. So there's been a lot of emotion filled with it. And it's been really, really amazing to even experience pregnancy. And I just feel like there's an extra special attachment that we have to our baby, having me carry him. And
it's a real blessing.
Yeah.
It's been, it has been a real blessing to experience pregnancy.
Yeah. And it just has really, I think, the one thing I have to say about being pregnant is you just don't realize what God does to create a human being prior to that, because, you know, you have friends and family that are pregnant and you're like, wow, that's miraculous and amazing. And, but you really don't understand the gravity of it until you're going through it yourself, because you just see how intertwined every single little detail from the start of that embryo being created to attaching to my womb. And then how, you know, God created my body to do X, Y, and Z to grow that human even more. And then what he does with, you know, breastfeeding and all of that. And it's just, you know, we just never understood that. And I mean, I have worked with children my whole life. I never understood that until being pregnant. So that's been a really, really miraculous thing to experience, and just to like really glorify God every single second of this pregnancy, because we have just been in awe the whole time.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The ultrasound. So, the ultrasounds alone, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. You're like, what? that's crazy. There's a human being in there.
Yeah.
You know, you see him moving his hand. It's just crazy. You know, and thank God for the apps of today that educate you step by step, week by week, where it's like, today he's growing his eyeballs. Today he's growing, you know, his brain. Today, it's really remarkable. Yeah. So,
the ultrasound technology and everything today is amazing. I mean, my kids are 24 and 22, so it was a long time ago that we had our kids. I just remember looking at our grainy ultrasounds. We couldn't tell. We, like, at one point, my wife wasn't sure if one of our kids had a face. You know, you don't. Rest assured, they both did. But you don't have to worry about that today. It's the ultrasound imaging. Like, you can see the little guy in there moving his fingers. You can see his face real clearly, right?
Yeah. So crazy. It's even the 6-week ultrasound.
Just this little.
Was tiny. Just like, just amazing, really.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
What are you most looking forward to about being parents?
Oh my goodness. That's a large question.
Well, we're having a boy, so I have a lot of, you know, football, fishing, like, yeah.
And I should mention that I don't think you guys would mind me mentioning that you're in New England. So Patriots fans, you've had a very good run
in
football. You got best Boston College out there. So yeah, football will be part of it, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I think we're single-handedly going to bring the Patriots back from a terrible season.
They have a ways to go. They have a ways. You guys had your run for a couple decades. Yeah. You know, you're talking to a Bears fan. We're getting Caleb Williams, and we're going to win 5 championships now.
Yeah. I think most of all, I guess when I think of it, the number one thing that pops in my head, I just really am looking forward to being a family and just having so many precious moments together, even though I know there's going to be hard moments. I think the number one thing that warms my heart at the thought of it is just being a family together and all those small, simple moments of like just sitting around the dinner table together and, you know, I don't know, just watching him develop over the course of time and go from, you know, not being able to talk, and then probably running around and climbing on every wall that he possibly can. So, I don't know. I guess that's what comes to my mind first and foremost, is just, I'm really looking forward to just being a little family and really getting to know who he is as an individual. So, yeah.
He's also going to give me a great excuse to go to the aquarium.
Yeah.
All the time. All the time. Hey, I have to take our son to the aquarium.
Yeah, he's looking forward to all the kid things that can be done.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to be a good dad. We're going to the aquarium.
Yeah.
I love it. No, you're right. You're right. And I remember when our kids were little, we went to the zoo a lot. I mean, we were like yearly members of the zoo. Yeah, it's a absolutely. Those are great excuses to get to those places.
Yeah.
Anything that you guys wish you'd known about embryo adoption or the NEDC when you went into the process? I mean, as you look back on it now, that you'd like to pass along to others, something you wish you'd known but was a little bit of a surprise to you and something folks should be prepared for? I always like to ask that question because, you know, we don't know everything. And you guys are the ones who have gone through it.
I really don't think so. I don't know if that's the wrong answer.
It's not the wrong answer if it's
I feel like there was nothing that ended up coming as a supreme shock that like wasn't told to us by everyone there. We had to go through a home study. So we, you know, had all that information. I mean, a home study is a lot of paperwork. So that part isn't joyous, but I don't feel like there's anything that I wish I had known and didn't know, to be honest.
I think the only advice I would give to folks is when it comes to the registry of actually going in and looking at donors, just to guard your heart, because it can be it's not a catalog, you know. We're talking about life here. So
take each one into account.
They all have individual stories. And then, you know, when we actually did get into the donor agreements, working through the third party, obviously you don't get to talk to the families directly, which for good reason. But just taking into account that these are people's children, these are individual families, and just being respectful of other people's wishes. It's not, I mean, like I said, it wasn't necessarily a surprise. It's just the advice that would come to mind, walking through the process.
Sometimes it hits you differently too, or it really hits you, the weight of it hits you once you actually do it. And so I think that's really helpful for folks. So let me ask you this. You guys are sort of outliers in another sense, being Reformed Baptists out there on the East Coast. So, you know, you would share my view that God is absolutely ordaining everything that happens. Mm-hmm. How has this journey grown your relationship with Him? What have you felt God doing in your own souls? Because we know we're Calvinists. We believe He's always at work for our good and His glory. How's He been shaping your souls through this?
Well, for me personally, like I had previously mentioned, you know, the experience of pregnancy has been a huge part of it for me in shaping, you know, just my view of life itself, and how, you know, this little embryo is in fact a life. And I think over the last 9 months, having experienced pregnancy, there are definitely times that I was sick and wanted to complain, but also just I feel like God constantly reminded me that, you know, it was for good reason, why I was feeling a certain way. And I think it has grown John and I's relationship closer as we have, you know, just been praying over the baby and just been like creating little things to talk to Him about and have and sing with Him about, even though He's not quite here yet. I think it's just really been more of a glorification of God. And I think that's kind of what has been the most bold thing that's come out of this. And two, it's just opened the door for a lot more conversations with people, whether they're believers or not believers, because not a lot of people, either believe or even know about embryos and embryo adoption. And so it's just spurred a lot of conversations where we've been able to talk about the glory of God in this situation and how we believe that embryos are life. And that's what, why we're doing this. And, you know, just helping people who don't believe to just open their eyes a little bit and see.
I've had nothing but positive interactions with folks when I do say, you know, hey, oh, we chose to do embryo adoption. What is that? What is that? Never heard of that before. Yeah. And then you just kind of walk through it.
So he's been opening the door for a lot more conversations about God. And I think that that has really grown our relationship with God more by having those conversations about him, about something that's happening in our personal lives. So that's been a huge part of it.
Those conversations force you into situations where you do get questions and it's like, oh man, I wasn't prepared for that. I need to read my Bible more. If I could just go back to the science again, like that's so mind blowing. It's just mind blowing.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely affirming of, listen, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It's just, you know, step after step after step after step after step of all these million little different things intertwining into this creation of a human life inside of a human life. Yeah. You know, and the second you see that first ultrasound, I mean, even before that, it's just, it's remarkable. It's miraculous and remarkable. And I have a duty to uphold as a husband and a soon to be father. And God is sovereign over all.
You guys are going to love it. There is nothing like having a new baby in the house, and you will know that joy very, very soon. We will continue to pray for you here in Knoxville. What a fun conversation. John and Brittany, thank you so much for joining me here on the Embryo Adoption Podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning more about this life-changing option for building a family. Hey, if you or someone you know could benefit from embryo adoption or donation, visit embryodonation.org to get started or just to find out more. Again, that's embryodonation.org. And don't forget to spread the word, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. Join me next time as we continue sharing inspirational stories of the embryo adoption journey. And until then, take care.